Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We pray you bless the program tonight. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ to encourage believers in their walk with you. And help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and boy, there's a lot of stuff still going on. Labor Day is tomorrow. If you don't have to work, I hope you'll be able to get a chance to get out, and it's usually the unofficial end of the summer, and it's going to be, looks like a fairly nice day across most of the area from what I've seen so far, and we've had some nice weather here recently, so I'm very thankful for that. It was nice to be able to turn the air conditioning off this past week and let the breeze come through the house and feel the humidity come down a little bit from what it's been. But at any rate, this is a nice time of year in northeastern Ohio when that heat and humidity starts to go before the cold weather gets in here. And so I hope you get a chance to enjoy it on Labor Day weekend. Also, a couple of things I want to mention that are coming up, and let's see, before I get ahead of myself, just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, and you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, all at livewithpastoral.com. And I got a number of things there, some articles and different things, some booklets and stuff that I put together over the years. And it's just a number of different things at livewithpastoral.com. I also wanted to mention coming up, we have another protest at Summa Health Center, Akron City Hospital in Akron, coming up on Tuesday, September the 7th. They've been having them on Friday evening. This will be a Tuesday night, September 7th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And if you go online to freeohionow.com, I believe it is freeohionow.com, you can find out more information about that. And you can also find out about some other things that they've got going on in different places. Let's see here. We've got it at freeohionow.com in Summa Health Protest. It'll be at 457 East Market Street in Akron on Tuesday, September 7th. And then another protest at Metro Health is going on Thursday, September 9th, 6 to 7 p.m. And these are fighting the vaccine mandates. I saw an article recently the other day that said that some hospitals that have been planning vaccine mandates are actually looking at backing off because they're afraid of staffing shortages. And so the people that are out there, it's making a difference. It's making a difference. Say, why do you bother talking about it on this program? Well, it is important. And this is one of those things that we need to do because this is kind of, the front line. These things are happening over in other parts of the world. There's other protests that are going on. Australia, for instance, they've got truckies in Australia, but they have a blockade that they've been going on, and very little reporting coming out of Australia on that, but there's been a number of places where they've blocked some areas across Australia protesting Australia's draconian COVID vaccination, not just vaccination, but lockdown laws that they have across Australia. And then in Europe, there's a number of things going on in Europe, different parts of Europe. In France, they had about 140,000 people protesting across France yesterday, protesting the passport, the vaccine mandates and passports that are required to go into places. A large mall in central Paris was overrun with protesters, enough that it actually drove the riot police back. And so this is happening in other parts of Europe as well, not just France, but also across the UK and in Switzerland, Germany, Italy. It's even happening across Canada and other parts of the world. People are fighting back against this. I spend some time on this because I personally do not believe the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Some people out there trying to spew this nonsense that the vaccine's the mark of the beast, and they talk about there being graphene oxide in it, and the carbon ring is a hexagon with six sides to it, and that's the mark of the beast. Well, the carbon ring is the basis of organic life. You would not live if you didn't have carbon rings all through your system. It's the basis of carbohydrates, sugars, and starches, which fuel your body. And also you'll find carbon rings in other organic chemicals. In fact, when I was in college and had to study organic chemistry, it was called organic chemistry because it was based on following the unique properties of the carbon molecule and the carbon ring, and how it would bind with different elements to form certain key molecules that your body needs. And so there would not be life if it weren't for the carbon ring. Maybe that's the reason the number of man is six. Well, no, actually the number of man is six because man was created on the sixth day, the sixth day of creation. But the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. But some of these things that are being pushed with these vaccine agendas, I believe, are softening people up, getting people ready for eventually one day there will be a worldwide mark instituted. And that's not going to be a vaccine in your arm. It's going to be, if you look in Revelation chapter 13, the Bible tells us very clearly in Revelation chapter 13, toward the end of the chapter here, it says, and he causeth all, this is in verse number, let's go into verse 15. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, that's not where they're given the vaccine. They're giving the vaccine to people in their shoulder. It says nothing about the shoulder here. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And it's part of the key with the mark of the beast is people will put their faith in the beast, the Antichrist, as being God. He'll make a claim to be God. And it talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he goes into the temple, which will be rebuilt, and claims to be God. And here in Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know, notice that. There's a false teaching out there about the third angel's ministry here, and this is not warning about worshiping on Sunday or on the first day of the week. There's no commandment that says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God 6 days of the week, but on the first day of the week thou shalt not, under penalty of eternal damnation. The third angel here is a warning about people who worship the beast and received his mark in their forehead or in their hand. These are people who worship the Antichrist as God when he claims to be God. And this is going to take place during the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period. So that's at least 3.5 years away, because the believers are still here. In order for this to happen, we have to have what's called the rapture of the church, the catching away of the believers, and would that it were today, but that's the blessed hope that Paul writes to Titus about in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The blessed hope is the catching away of the church, when the Bible says First Thessalonians chapter 4, where we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're all changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. This corruption puts on incorruptible, this mortal puts on immortality, and we are brought up to be with the Lord. And this is the blessed hope. This is what we look forward to. Then after that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed. And then, after he approves his covenant with Israel, bringing peace to the Mideast, a seven-year period, in the midst of that, according to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, is when the Antichrist will disrupt the services in the temple that will have been rebuilt by then. He'll cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. And then the false prophet is going to lead the world in worshiping the Antichrist or the beast as God. And he'll claim to be God. He'll enter into the holy place of the temple, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he will claim to be God. And they will institute this mark at that time, and whoever does not receive the mark, the Bible says, will not be able to buy or sell. Now, you don't get to that immediately at the drop of a hat. People are being prepared for that, and that's what we see happening. And one of the reasons I feel confident in saying that is because, for instance, scientific studies have been done. Cleveland Clinic, for instance, a major study out of Israel, and there's several other major scientific studies have shown that if you had coronavirus and you survived it, along with about 99.6% of everybody else that had coronavirus. I heard some guy on another radio station yesterday trying to say that if you get the coronavirus, it's a death sentence. Actually, I heard Governor Cuomo, when he was still governor, saying it's a death sentence. No, it's not. It's only a death sentence for 0.4% of the people who got it, and most of that 0.4%, the vast majority of them, are over the age of 75. Look at the CDC's own figures. Well, instead, the majority of people survive it, and these major scientific studies have shown that you have a superior, a more robust immunity than you get from any of these so-called vaccines. And yet, if you're going in for a surgery, let's say an outpatient surgery, they'll ask you, have you had the vaccine? And if you say, no, I've had coronavirus, I had corona, and survived it, they'll say, well, if you had the vaccine, you don't need a test. But if you haven't had the vaccine, you need a test. And you say, but I had corona already. I have immunity. Well, you have to have a test. They won't accept that. Now, I don't have to get a measles or a chicken pox vaccine because I had those already. And so I don't need to get one of those, but I had corona. Why do I need a corona vaccine, so-called? So you see my point. They're getting people ready. They're using something that, yes, people die from the coronavirus. It is a real virus. It's not a fake. It's not just the flu. It's a coronavirus. It's a class of viruses, just like the flu is an influenza virus, and it's a class of viruses, along with COVID is SARS and MERS and some others. And people do die from it. And yes, some people do have been helped by some of the vaccines, but people have died from the vaccines. It's not without risk. Neither is without risk. And for most people, the risk of the vaccine, I'm convinced, is greater than the risk of the virus. But without spending too much more time on that, what I'm trying to get at is that for some reason, you're not allowed even to discuss natural immunity that results from having had COVID. And in fact, I tried to post something on Facebook in talking about one of these Israeli studies. The Facebook said, this is misleading information. If you post this, we're going to restrict the access to your account, because I wanted to post a scientific study that Facebook did not want posted. And this is the problem we have today, is we have big tech that's in the back pocket of the globalists that don't want things posted. They don't want you to hear about that. That's why I encourage people to go to some of these other platforms like MeWe and USA.life and things like that, Getter.com, I believe it is, and things. There's some other ones out there that you can go to that you can post some of this stuff and you can read some of this stuff. And it's all part of what's happening. We've got this globalist effort that's in place right now, and the Great Reset, the banks and everything that are some of them moving to this. In fact, how many of you have been to a store where they've said, oh, we can't give you change because of the nationwide coin shortage? Well, I was at my bank this past week, and I had been at a couple stores that they were rounding your change they were giving you back because of the coin shortage. I asked at the bank, I asked the teller, I said, is there a nationwide coin shortage? And my teller sort of snorted and said, no, we've got lots of coins in our bank. And he volunteered that he thought, well, some of the people are just kind of lazy. They don't want to handle coins. They're looking for an excuse. But, you know, it's all a part of this thing trying to get people onto a coinless, cashless society where they can control. It's all about control. These vaccine passports and mandates, it's about control. It's not about immunity. If it was about immunity, they'd be recognizing the people who've had COVID and survived it, which, as I said, is about 99.6% of the people that have had COVID, and they would be recognizing that we have immunity. And nobody would ask us for have to get a test or have to get a vaccine, because we have natural immunity, if that's what it was really about. But it's not. It's about control. And it's the same thing with the so-called coin shortage that's non-existent. It's about control. They're all about trying to control, leading up to and culminating eventually during the time of the tribulation with the one world government, and then the attempt to institute this mark of the beast at the midpoint of the tribulation. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Al. Hey, I just wanted to let you know another thing the government's doing. You may have touched base on this because I picked up your show late, and I usually listen to it from the get-go. I work at a security job at a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And what they have done is mandated us to get the poisonous poke,
right,
even if we don't want it, because if we don't get it, we're not going to work. If we can't work, we can't support our family.
Well, and I know some people who work in a hospital setting that's been mandated, and they're going to quit, taking away decades of experience and working.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and what about volunteers that are going to stop volunteering? I mean, we're killing our healthcare industry. There's even rumor that some hospitals are cutting back on caseloads, elective surgeries and stuff, anticipating staffing shortages.
Absolutely, it's going to happen. I've already got some people in my own department saying if they mandate it, in which they did, they were going to quit, and they're already out looking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, half my force is going to be gone.
Well, and I saw a headline, I think I mentioned it at the start, or maybe I was talking about it at church tonight, where there are some hospitals that are seeing this, and they're reconsidering their vaccine mandate.
Well, so I hope they do, because this is going to get to a point where it's going to, I don't know what Biden's agenda is besides control, but it's not working.
Well, it depends. I mean, if your idea is control and ushering in a one world government, I think he's doing absolutely what they want to be done. Everything Afghanistan to the you know, fiasco with the vaccine mandates. So,
you know, I just wanted to let you know that's one way the government's making sure that these people get the poison spokes. They're forcing our workers, or these companies, to mandate us to get this, or else.
Yeah, well, that's why I was mentioning at the start of the program, the planned protest Tuesday night from 6 to 7, 7:30, I believe, at SUMA in Akron. And then on, I believe it was the 7th, at Metro Health from 6 to 7 in Cleveland. So, there's people out that are standing, holding the line, and pray for those people.
Oh, I always do. So yeah. I just wanted to touch base with you a little bit.
Thank you. I appreciate that inside information there. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye, sir.
All right. Good night. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I think we've got Nancy who's called in first. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. my question also has to do with the vaccine and the mask and all this control, these control methods, or whatever you call it, that the government is doing in various hospitals. I was thinking about Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Well, you know, it's sort of, from my understanding, it's saying we need to obey the government. This is the power of God, but there's so much evidence, like you have talked about, that the vaccine in particular can be very dangerous for some people. And like, for example, like you said, people that have had the virus, they're already immune, but they're ignoring the fact that they are immune. And so I just wondered if you could explain how this verse applies to the fact that they're trying to force, like, children to wear masks and different, you know, hospitals insisting on the vaccine. But I did hear, and I don't know if you heard this, Cleveland Clinic and University Hospital are not not mandating the vaccine, and people from other hospital systems are going over to Cleveland Clinic and University Hospital. So Cleveland Clinic is gaining more employees, and also University Hospital, where these other places, people just do not want to, I call it the poisonous poke.
That's our last caller was saying, too. Yeah. Well, but I mean, when you think about it, you can understand why people are doing that, because, you know, they don't like being forced into a corner on something that they shouldn't have to be forced into a corner on, and it is going to affect healthcare in Ohio, and you're going to lose people with years of experience. You're going to lose volunteers with years of experience, and everybody in healthcare knows that the volunteers really do make a difference in the things that they do, you know, and carrying out activities
absolutely.
In the hospital.
Yes.
I've known people who volunteered in hospitals, and they do everything from help wheel people out to doing a lot of things that makes the staff's job a lot easier and the patients a lot more comfortable. And we're going to lose a lot of this mm-hmm. for nothing, except for this mm-hmm. short-sighted attempt to exert exert control and manipulate people. But I got an article that I wrote, and I just realized I haven't got it updated onto my website yet at live with PastorAl.com, but I do have it on our various social media. An article that I wrote called "Praying for Ungodly Leaders." I've talked about this on the radio, and I was asked a question mm-hmm. about it, and I dealt with it on the radio a little bit on our Friday program in the past a couple of weeks ago, and I actually ended up turning it into an article that I put together. And in one of the things that I do address is Romans 13, where it talks about, you know, the higher powers, the government leaders. And when you look at the description that are there for these government officials, I think part of the key is in verse number 3, where it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Verse 4, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." Now, this is what the government leader is supposed to do. But we know for a fact that not all government leaders do that. Instead of being a minister of God to us for good and a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil, they instead become the ministers of self or Satan or whatever to us for evil, and they become revengers who execute wrath on them that do good. Now, in that case, I don't believe that we're called to blindly follow them. I know the next verse there says in verse 5, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." But we do have some principles in the scriptures regarding obedience to government leaders, but I believe it is qualified that so long as what they're doing and what they're saying is in accordance with their mandate, you know, to be ministers of God to us for good and a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. And there's other passages. Let me just give you a couple of them. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of him, them that do well." But this does not mean blind allegiance, which some, and there's unfortunately, there's pastors of relatively good churches, but pastors that teach almost blind obedience. But remember, and I've used this example time and again, in Acts chapter 4 and 5, Peter and John have been apprehended by the Sanhedrin, and this is the ruling council, the chief priests and the high priests, the chief rulers and scribes of the people, the elders of the people, and they were told in Acts chapter 4 not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So what did they do? Did they say, "Well, we have to obey our leaders in all things and never go against them"? No, they realized that their leaders went contrary to the word of God, and so they said this in Acts 4, verse 19 and 20, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And so they basically said, we have to obey God. In fact, in chapter 5, They're apprehended for preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus again after being told not to, and they were reproved for doing that. And again, they said in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And as I
just going to quote that verse.
Yeah. And see, I pointed this out in my article on praying for ungodly leaders. I said that we have in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? And the key there, we know that children are to obey their parents, but he says, in the Lord, which means as long as they're within the confines of God's will. This is following authority, and God's authority is supreme over man's authority. And I was in the military, I learned to follow lines of authority, and the commander-in-chief's authority was supreme over, you know, the lieutenant's authority. Hey, we got a break coming up. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I wanted to mention, too, that we're sponsored certainly by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can find out more about that there. And we'll have more on that at the end of the program as well. But we're also sponsored by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al when you call. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And call them at 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program. We are talking with Nancy and talking about obedience to government and qualifications on that. Still with us, Nancy?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we were talking about when we left and the break crept up on us there about the passage in Ephesians 6:1 where Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And we have that qualifier there, "in the Lord," which means that children aren't to, if their parents say, now Johnny, I want you to go in and rob that liquor store because Daddy needs a drink. That's not right in the Lord, is it? That's not something God expects them to do. That child is under no obligation to obey that because that's not in the Lord. That's not right. And it's the same thing when the council told Peter and John not to teach or speak in the name of Jesus anymore. That wasn't right. Mm-hmm. That wasn't something they could do. And so they disobeyed them and said we ought to obey God rather than men. And as we went into the break, I was saying when I was in the Air Force, you know, you learn in the military about lines of authority. And, you know, mm-hmm. you obey, you know, the officer over you, but he has to obey the officer over him all the way up to the commander in chief, who is subservient to the Constitution of the United States of America. And so mm-hmm. if they're giving you orders that are contradictory to the chain of command, you know, they're not lawful orders. And we're actually mm-hmm. in, you know, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, we were taught to disobey unlawful orders. Just mm-hmm. because they came from the government, just because they came from an officer, didn't mean we were necessarily to obey them. Remember the Nuremberg trials after World War II, mm-hmm. when they tried to use the defense, well, we were just obeying orders. They didn't allow that mm-hmm. as a defense. Mm-hmm. And so we see examples, and we also see examples in the Bible, like Peter and John, who disobeyed unlawful orders. And in the article that I wrote, Praying for Ungodly Leaders, I put out some other examples. Remember the midwives in Exodus, the book of Exodus? Pharaoh instructed the midwives to kill the male babies of the Hebrew babies. If you remember that in Exodus chapter 1.
Oh, yes.
And they feared God, the midwives did, and they didn't kill the babies like Pharaoh commanded, and God actually blessed them for it.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't punish them for it. In fact, Moses, I point out in the article, Moses, one of Israel's greatest prophets, was a product of civil disobedience because his mother refused to kill him. Instead, she made preparations for him to survive. Pharaoh's own daughter found him. And then Moses' mother actually wound up being hired to be the nurse for him.
Mm-hmm, that was amazing.
And, you know, God rewarded her. And we see time and time again people in the Old Testament who disobeyed unlawful government orders. There's no mandate in the Bible to blindly follow government orders just because it's the government. We only, like I said, use that qualifier like children obey your parents in the Lord. If they're doing something or saying something in the Lord, you know, following the Lord, then yes, we should be obedient to them. But when they're going contrary to the word of God, I don't believe we're expected. I think we're expected to resist unlawful orders, resist unlawful commands. We ought to obey God rather than men. And I wish more pastors would stand up in their pulpits and say that.
Oh, so. Amen. I wanted to ask you about the end of verse 4, Romans 13.
Uh-huh.
For For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Would that apply to all these people that are protesting? It's Suma Health and Metro Health. And
well, they're not doing evil. They're not doing evil.
But they're executing wrath upon those. It's the hospital system. I think that's evil.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the government. As far as they're doing, there's no need to execute wrath upon those that are out protesting, you know, these things that are contrary to our Constitution, contrary to our laws and our liberties here in the United States. And there's no reason that they should be executing wrath upon them because they're not doing evil. So government...
I was wondering if this applied to the protesters. They're executing wrath upon...
Oh, no. Well, the protesters are not the government. This is talking about government officials.
Oh.
Government officials ought to be out there protecting the protesters.
Oh, okay.
They ought to be protecting them from those that would try to do evil to them, because they're doing something that's right. And so the government officials ought to be, it says they're a minister of God to thee for good. So if they're doing something that's good, which they are, they ought to receive the protection, because we have enshrined in our law and in our Constitution the right to freedom of speech. We have the right to peaceably assemble. We have the right to have these protests. This is our constitutional right. And so if they're enforcing and protecting those rights, they're doing the right thing. And so government officials ought to be supporting them, not attacking them or harassing them.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You explained it in great detail with many examples. Thank you. Thank you for taking my...
I appreciate that. Thank you, Nancy. And we've got a couple more callers. We're going to get Terry next. And Terry, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I like to say thank you, Craig, for taking my call.
Yes, got you in, and appreciate that. And I know there's a number of people. I saw a thing just last night or yesterday evening that Prime Minister Trudeau is, in some polls trailing against the conservative challenger.
That's right. I'm glad.
Well, I'm praying that Canada can make a turn back to the right.
Because as far as I'm concerned, the Liberals are like the Democrats up down in the States.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all, birds of a feather.
Yeah, and our conservatives are more like the Republicans. So.
And there do seem to be a number of people in Canada that are starting to stand up and protest and take a stand for liberty and freedom in Canada.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. I appreciate that people call praying for our government.
Well, it's important for us here in the U.S. because, the border between us and Canada, it's a big border, and we ought to have a nice secure border there, and know that each country can be comfortable with the other country. Plus, our self defense, our military defense, and everything is so integrated, between the two countries, that we really do need to have, governments that stand up for right and for liberty and freedom.
And I encourage people that are listening in to vote on the conservative.
And we do have a number of people in Canada who listen, so I encourage people to pray for the Canadian election. When is that election? Is it September?
September, almost at the end.
So toward the end of the month, so certainly be praying for that. And then, of course, we've got elections coming up in November, early November. So, we just have to keep praying and doing what we can. Of course, the Lord could come back before then and then kind of be a moot point. But in the meanwhile, we are called to be salt and light in the world, aren't we?
That's right. I just want to mention, speaking about Canada, I'd like to leave an address of a church that I've been going to, if people want to come and worship with us. And I've been going to a church in Woodstock, Ontario. It's called, the address is 34 Graham Street, Woodstock, Ontario, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's an independent church.
Mm-hmm.
And the telephone number is 519-537. Sorry, I got time.
That's all right. Do you know if they have a website by chance?
0125.
All right. Give that phone number again, please.
519-537-0125.
All right. And do you know if they have a website by chance?
CornerstoneBaptist.ca.
All right. And hopefully some people will find that. That's good. I'm glad you'd be able to find a good church there.
And you want to meet up with me, that'd be a good place to go.
There we go. And hey, you know, people, God's people got to get together because you encourage one another. And, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But he goes on to say, you know, that we got to get together more and more as you see the day approaching. So, you know.
I told the pastor today, I want to fill your pew.
Amen. Amen. We'll certainly pray for that church.
He's a lot like you in a lot of ways.
Amen. I appreciate that. And again, thank God that there's a good church there that you're able to go to and that other people can find. So appreciate that. And you'll have to mention that again in a future program. So yeah, we can hopefully get some people in there. That's good. I appreciate that, Terry.
Yeah. I'm just going to mention one quick, and you know, we're talking to Nancy. I'm just going to say real quick, beware of those calling good evil and evil good.
Mm-hmm. And we certainly see that happening today, don't we?
Yeah. And one more quick thing. Well, this actually could be a long subject, but this is a subject that I was actually going to bring up. Is I think people have a misunderstanding about by his stripes we were healed.
Oh, yeah, that's one that comes up periodically, and it's talking about spiritual healing. Because obviously when I got saved, I didn't suddenly have my eyesight restored. I wore glasses before I got saved, and I wore glasses after I got saved. And I've heard people falsely teach that when you get saved, all the effects of sin are done away with. So, well, then I would have gotten my eyesight back because that's the effect of sin, the effect of sin in the world. And I've seen plenty of people get saved when they were in the hospital, and they didn't suddenly leap up off the hospital bed totally cured. In fact, some of them actually went to be with the Lord shortly after that. And, of course, one would say then they were totally healed then because never to get sick again. But, yeah, this is some odd teachings out there.
Oh, yeah, I was listening to your affiliate just before I called in.
Oh, okay. I did not actually hear program, so
they're
Pentecostal, so. I know they had a spirited conversation going on, but that's about all I know, as I wasn't really listening to it. I didn't have the sound up here in the studio, and I heard snippets of it through the window.
I was feeling nauseous actually when I was listening to it.
Well, you know, we know that God can heal people, and he does heal people, but sometimes his choice, you know, remember Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it's probably part of it was his bad eyesight, and he prayed three times for God to remove it, and God never took it from him. He said he needed it to keep him humble so that he could continue to serve him, and so he didn't have full healing, and there's lots of people that's happened to. You know, certain things.
There's a difference between physical healing and spiritual healing.
Exactly. And that's
Jesus
what...
Jesus died on the cross. By his stripes, we were healed.
Right. Spiritual.
It's finished.
Forever. Yeah. That's the spiritual healing. The physical healing will take place when we get a new body.
Right. And that's the best healing we can ever receive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. I like to say that with emphasis. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the best thing that we can... receive.
Well, and of course we receive the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation, because Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. We don't belong to him at all. Then of course we're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, and so one day we'll be caught up to be with the Lord, and then we'll receive that new body with no sin nature and no ill effects from sin on it. I won't have to wear glasses anymore. So
you have another caller, right?
Yes, we do. We got another caller waiting.
There's a lot I could say, Pastor.
Well, I appreciate your call tonight, Terry. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And we're praying for the church there, Cornerstone Baptist, in where was that again?
Woodstock, Ontario.
Woodstock, Ontario. Hope people will find that are looking.
So not that far from London, Ontario.
All right. Very good.
That's where I live.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless. And again, also praying for the election there coming up in later September for prime minister. And appreciate the call tonight, Terry. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mary Grace calling in next. And welcome to the program.
Well, God's blessings, Pastor.
All right. We've had a busy night tonight, huh?
Oh, honey, very good. But God is good every day.
Amen.
When he yields up. When he said, you must read the whole of 6, because we're ambassadors of Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
We must put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
And you have to put it on a clean body. And that's it. And every day we present ourselves a living sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Acceptable in his sight. And that is what God's word is all about. His word never comes back twice. But I wanted to bring you good news.
Yes.
And the point is, it's called TimeToFreeAmerica.com.
Okay.
You can find a lot of information on there. And for the nasty side of it, go to Brighton.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll show you all the depopulation and all the nasty stuff. Because the thing is, we are fighting principalities.
Oh, absolutely. Paul warned about that, fighting a spiritual battle.
That's what the whole thing is.
Yeah. Let me give you an example of that, Mary Grace. Let me give you an example. There's have you ever gone to the Patriot Post? This is a great website, patriotpost.us. They have an article there.
I read. I'm a reader.
Yeah, this article is called Hypocritical Catholics. And the headline says, Catholic Democrats Commit Abortion Idolatry. And it singles out, of course, Biden, Pelosi, and Markey. But let me read the last line in this article. In the last paragraph. And this, I thought, I was thinking about, remember in the Old Testament when they would offer their children up to Moloch? They would bring them through the fire? When I thought of this as I was reading this line, it says, the truth is Biden, Pelosi, Markey, and their Democrat colleagues worship at the altar of abortion rights. Everything else must be brought into submission to this primary issue. And I thought of the people who offered their children up, brought them through the fire to Moloch. And, you know, you think of...
was built on baby's bones.
Exactly. And what...
actually, this Pope, and that's all I can say, is this Pope is evil.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm telling you.
Well, and look at...
December.
Yeah, and look at Biden and Pelosi, who claim to... Biden in 2008 declared that, he said, I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. Even in 2015, he said, I'm prepared to accept that at the moment of conception, there's a human life in being. And, you know, when you're saying these things and then you're fighting for abortion on demand up until the very moment of birth, that's just evil.
It is.
That's pure evil.
And there's in Bedford, there's a doctor, Dr. Ruxton, or something. But he will do them at any time, before or after, up until. Mm. And that is what's
evil. That's evil. It's evil.
It's very evil.
Yeah, we've said and before when the New York legislature passed that bill a few years ago,
cheering
that they can now abort babies up until the moment of birth, and they cheered like they won the Super Bowl. That's evil.
And yet
that is spiritual wickedness.
From this shot. These shots, I am praying for all those police, all of them, because there's a guy, his name is Christian, and he was on the radio today, and he's not taking the shot, and he's been 31 years with the police, and they're not. They have to fight back. They have to fight back.
Well, and people are fighting back, and they are having some success in some areas. Like our caller earlier said, it looks like university hospitals and Cleveland Clinic are not mandating the vaccine. And some of the people from systems such as Metro and down in Akron, the Summa Health System, are gravitating over to some of these other ones because, they don't want to be forced to take a shot they don't need.
But, Pastor, do you realize There's 107 Confucius Institutes in all our colleges, Akron College, all of these colleges, East Western, all of them. And guess what? When they put their money in there, do you understand, then they can do what they want. Well, they can't, because President Trump in late September of 19, he signed the thing, and he said, if you're messing with our election and you're doing all this stuff, that property does not belong to you.
We've talked about that on the radio before, and I'm glad you're reminded of that. But see, the problem we have is the people who are in charge now aren't enforcing the laws that are on the books. I've used the example before. You can have the best brakes in the world on your car, but if you never put your foot on them, they're not going to do any good. And that's the problem we have. We have people in government who will not and do not enforce the laws that are there for our protection. They don't have the respect for the Constitution and our Bill of Rights that we have in the first 10 amendments. And it's a sad day that we live in.
So important. That is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I will wear you can go to Citizens for Free Speech, send them whatever money you want, but I will wear my badge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Patrick Wood.
And that's where people need to get involved and
wear it. I sent him $15. He sent me three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody won.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted. Just do it.
Yeah.
Do it and stand up for your rights. And I carry my Constitution with me.
Well, I've got one sitting in the bag that I brought to the studio tonight. It's sitting right there.
That's
I carry
right.
it with me to church. And it's important. It's important.
We have to do this.
Yes.
And the Lord is Lord God Almighty. He is watching this do because everybody is affected by this.
Right.
Canada. I pray for Canada.
And we need to.
Killing people. They're killing people.
Mm-hmm.
They just go in there.
They're killing people, disrupting churches.
A shot.
Yeah.
350 a shot. And they tell the kids to kill themselves.
And
if you're sad, don't worry about it. You understand? Yeah. Don't worry about it.
No, we need to worry about it. We need to make a effort of prayer. I hear the music coming. We're about out of time, Mary Grace. I appreciate your calling tonight. And we continue to pray. And I got to make a couple of quick things before we run out of time here. But I appreciate Mary Grace calling and the information she was giving out, as well as our other callers here tonight. Do pray for these people that are out there, and it does make a difference, because we need to protect our freedom wherever we can, because eventually they're going to come to the church door. My philosophy, I believe that we ought to protect freedom outside of the church before it comes to the church door, before the threat gets there. We need to be involved as salt and light, the Bible says, in the world. We need to make a difference. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. What if he comes today? That'd be great. That's the blessed hope, but we don't know that. He might be 10 years before he comes back. We don't know. But in the meanwhile, we need to be found working, watching, and waiting. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook.